Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MB Pro call. Today is March 14th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here listening live, as well as those of you listening via recording. Just a couple real quick announcements. First off, we are starting our design module next Wednesday. So for those of you that I have been helping, or the Motor Vitality has been helping you get, mentor you or get through your certification, then that class starts next Wednesday, and I'd love to be able to help you get your certification. We're trying to finish before the National WQA Convention, which is in a month. So, well, just over a month. I kind of picture it a month because you guys will hear me talk about this, I'm sure. If those of you that know me know already that I've been kind of obsessed with this, but starting, I leave for my Grand Canyon, like, death hike in a month from now. So the week before, it's if you follow us on social media, you see I posted that, and I've been training pretty hard for that. I'm going to do a couple days in bottom of the Grand Canyon and with the weight on my back all by myself. All my friends are like, who are you going with? I'm like, me. They're like, okay, well, should we get the dinner, you know, have dinner or something before you go, since I'll never see you again? So anyway, that's neither here nor there, and I'm sure you guys really care about all that. So let's move on. Actually, so today I'm gonna ask real quick the question that I always ask every week, and I want to talk briefly about that. But I do have a topic that I want to focus on today regarding this ethics system study, because that came up, and I think it's kind of an important one. So I am going to ask you guys real quick. You know, we can talk briefly about this. Was there anything anybody learned this last week that they wish they had known before? Anything that happen that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Any questions you have? We'll take just a couple minutes on this real quick here today. Anybody have anything? So with that, then I am going to jump right into our topic. Okay, so
Dave Wilson.
Hey, Dave Wilson. So anyway, the reason I decided to come back and talk about this topic again is we've got a client in Iowa. So we're going to talk about septic systems and the whole study and stuff like that. So, but we've got a client in Iowa that has one of the areas they cover, one of the municipalities that they cover, sent out a message to everybody in the city, everybody in the area, saying, you know, don't put your water softener in the septic system. It's going to hurt it. And, in fact, don't even need water softeners. Don't even use them. You know, indefinitely if it's an inefficient one. Now, the wording of it, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail on that. The wording of it could have been a lot worse. Biggest thing was just saying don't put your softeners in your septic system. That was the biggest focus. And then it was saying, you know, in some cases on city water, you don't even need them because we're good, right? We get your water down to 8 grains. So why do you need a softener? You know, that type of thing, which that's a whole different topic on dealing with the marketing of, you know, that gets written into a consumer confidence report. That's a whole other issue. But I can tell you for 20 years, having done this for 20 years, I have always heard from the septic system industry that no, you don't put a softener, don't drain the softener to the septic system. It'll destroy the septic system. It tears it all up. And you know, I heard that for years and years and years. And a lot of times, you know, especially in a rural area where you're more likely to use septic or more likely to use softeners, you know, you have a well and septic, which means you probably also need a softener out there. The two have you know, they definitely contradict each – well, they don't contradict it. They work in conjunction with you. You know, if you live on a well and septic, you probably need a water softener is what I'm saying. So it's kind of a pain. You know, where do you drain it, right? You dig a dry well, put it in the neighbor's yard. You know, you can't really run the salt into a pond or a lake or anything because you'll kill the fish and stuff like that. So, you know, a septic was a good alternative, a good choice. Well, what you find is you have customers that get kind of mad sometimes because their septic system fails, and the water softener company is an easy target, right? So septic system guy, I mean, it's expensive. I don't know if you've ever had to dig a septic or repair or replace a septic system, but we're talking $15,000-$20,000. That's super expensive. And if one fails prematurely and and it's still under warranty for some type, and you're a septic system guy, you're going to be looking for every explanation of why that system failed. And water softeners, they're an easy target. It makes sense. You're adding more water. The thing they say is all the salt would kill the breakdown. It kills the bacteria that breaks down the sludge and extends the life of the septic system. And so that was kind of the common what I had heard all the way coming in. So when Water Quality Association, the research component of the Water Quality Association, WQRF, the Water Quality Research Foundation, they worked in conjunction with the septic system industry a few years ago, and they did an impact study to actually, for once and for all, determine whether or not water softeners have a negative impact on septic systems. So the first thing I want to do is talk about that study, and then I want to talk about how to address this when we run across septic system manufacturers or septic system installers, septic system companies or customers that are curious about it, right? So I'm going to read you. So this is, everybody has access to the summary of the study. It's a 12-page summary that has graphs and a little explanation. And then if you are a Water Quality Association member, you can get the entire detailed step-by-step, all the chemistry behind it study in, if you want. And that actually becomes good if you get involved with some kind of a situation where you have to demonstrate science, where you have to show science. But even the summary of the environmental impact study, the water softener, it's called Executive Summary Environmental Impact Study, Water Softener Effects on Septic System Performance. And here's the first paragraph of what they studied in this impact study. So it says, water softener effects on septic system performance. This study was undertaken to investigate the effect home ion exchange water softeners may have on the performance of on-site septic tanks. A laboratory study was set up with columns that contained solids collected from operating septic tanks. Wastewater was added with varying levels of sodium, as well as calcium and magnesium, modeling the periodic addition of regenerant from softeners operating at different salt dosing, ranging from high efficiency to very poor efficiency. To reinforce the column experiments, data were obtained from private septic tanks to determine the effluent quality from septic tanks which did or did not receive the regenerant from softeners. So this is the important paragraph right here. The data indicate that the use of efficiently operated softeners at or above 3,000 grain salt efficiency per pound improves septic tank performance. So that's a really important sentence right there, that efficient water softeners not only don't harm the septic system, but the data proves that it improves, that it helps the septic system, the septic tank performance. While the use of very inefficient softeners at or below 1,000 grains of salt efficiency may have a negative effect on solids discharge to the drain field, the level of impact will depend on the level of hardness in the water, whether the regeneration waste is discharged to the septic tank, and the amount of excess sodium present in the regeneration waste. So that's the executive, that's the summary before you go into this impact study. So the cool thing about the study, okay, so they set this thing up initially, the initial study. So there are several parts of the study, and they verified the data. So initially in New York, they took these two apartments. Both of them were at max capacity, and they had the ability, both of these apartments were on septic systems. and they had the ability to redirect the brine discharge from the softeners that they use in these apartment systems to one, to either both or one or the other of the septic tanks. So the very first part of the study they did is they redirected the discharge, the softener discharge from the softeners into one septic tank, and then they tested the one that got all the salt discharge from the one, you know, from the one apartment, and then they did it in another. So they had some lab situations kind of set up that they were testing that. Once they got the results, they then went to North Carolina and worked directly with septic system industry professionals, people that did this for a living, people that were in the industry, and they set up a bunch of other little experiments, and they tested the residential water softeners the same way and came up with the exact same conclusions. So the bottom line is this was not a Water Quality Association study done to help the, you know, to help the water treatment industry. This was a study done in conjunction with the septic system industry, with professionals from the septic system industry that verified the results. So the bottom line is an efficient water softener helps extend the life and break down the solids in a septic system. An inefficient water softener does not. Okay, in fact, the high levels of sodium in an inefficient softener, it does prevent the breakdown of solids in a septic system and may contribute to premature failure. Now, there are other components that when you get into, there are some added benefits to a softener that helps a septic system that the study gets more into detail or mentions when you look at the longer study, which is the fact that when you use a water softener, you hopefully, if you're using it properly, are adding less cleaners and less chemicals, you know, the things that we use to chemically treat water, those things are minimized or eliminated when you have a water softener. You don't have to put as many of those things, and those things are definitely harmful to, you know, to a septic system, you know, its function to breaking down the solids. Now, all of that's great, but then, you know, hey, Don't confuse me with your facts, right? Okay, science, schmiance. I mean, you know, what does that mean? It doesn't, you know, I mean, how often in our society do we run into something where science tells us something extremely clearly, but it goes against somebody's gut feeling? I know it to be true because, you know, I've worked with septic systems my whole life, and this, I can tell you, they fail when you put a water softener in. I mean, it's such a vague, this is the way people are. This is the way people are. So the reality is you're not going to win that fight. It's not even a fight I think you need to engage in. Okay, so there are a couple different parts of this call that I want to talk about. Okay, first off, this study is available to you. You can print this off. You can give it to customers. You have this. If you run across a customer that asks this question, somebody will ask the question. Okay, somebody is going to ask the question. You know, my septic guy said the softener will hurt. Well, you can give them this study, and you can explain it to them. Which I think what that does is it can give you credibility. Okay, meaning you're not just getting into a pissing match between the septic system guy and the water treatment company, right? You don't want to get in that battle, that fight back and forth. Why would you want to do that anyway? You have the same customers. I mean, wouldn't you rather have a solid relationship? Get it? I said solid, you know, septic system. Anyway, wouldn't you want to have a good relationship with the septic system guy? He's got the same customers as you. So ideally, the best thing to do would be to take the septic system guy to lunch, sit down, have a conversation, show him this study, and get his take on it. You know, have a discussion about it with, say, you know, so they put this out, it was done, what are your thoughts on this? Best case scenario, the guy goes, oh, I didn't know that. Now he's educated, and he's out there telling customers accurate things. But what if he's one of those old-time guys that doesn't want to learn anything new, or he's stuck in his ways, and it's the way he's been doing it, it's the way his dad did it and the way his granddad did it before that, and he's been doing it for 35, 40 years, and this is the way it's going to be? So what if it's one of those guys? All right, so now the next question, if you don't want to – so you can win the battle with him, right? Well, the science says that it's – we shouldn't put this in there. But maybe you ask him the question. So we run across this. I don't want to contradict. I don't want to hurt your customers. I don't want to give the impression. Tell me what would you prefer we as a company do? You know, and empower the septic system guy. Instead of having him out there working against you, maybe you make him feel good, because when's the last time that guy's had anybody ask his opinion on water softeners? I mean, he's used to having the battle. So sit down with the guy and say, what do you want? How would you rather us do it? Okay, and, you know, and he says, well, you got to put it in dry well. You got to put it – I mean, there are problem with, you know, putting stuff in a sump pump. I can tell you I'm on a well, and I do have my softener draining into my sump pump. And I can tell you pretty religiously, every 5 or 6 years, I have to replace my sump pump. In fact, the last time I replaced my sump pump was I did it because it had been about 5, 6 years since I had done it before, and I travel so much, I didn't want my sump pump going bad while I was gone. So I just went and put a new one in, because I know that, yes, the salt that goes into my sump, you know, that does tear up the motor, and, you know, it adds extra wear and tear on your sump pump. And a sump pump, I can tell you, is a heck of a lot cheaper than having to repair or replace a septic system. But anyway, we're having the conversation, you know, so maybe the guy says, well, put it in the sump. But what if they don't have a sump pump? The owner of the company we're working with here in Iowa, he doesn't have a sump pump in his basement. He doesn't even have a sump. There are a lot of houses out there that don't have sump pumps. So what do you do there? Well, you can dig a dry well, you know, and if anybody's interested on how to dig a dry well, it's pretty easy to dig. I mean, I don't know that it's easy labor-wise, but the concept of a dry well is pretty easy. But maybe the water table's high, or you know, there maybe for whatever reason people don't want to dig a dry well. You know, whatever the reason is. But I think the first step is not. I think communication is huge. I think sitting down with your local septic system guy or gal and asking, what would you guys like us to do? How, you know, let's find out what their take on it is first. No, I bet you nobody's ever done that. I bet you there are so many septic system companies out there and water treatment companies out there that don't like each other, because the only experience they have had with each other is the septic company blamed the water softener company for the failure of the septic systems, and the water softener guys, they don't like the septic system guys because they got blamed for failure. Okay, let's start with actually sitting down and finding out what the opinion of the septic system company is, and maybe you can teach them something, and maybe they can start working with you instead of against you. Okay, so that's one possibility. That's where I would absolutely start. The other thing I need to tell you is that it doesn't matter. I mean, it does matter what the science says, yes. But there are warranties. Septic systems, a lot of times, the warranty will specifically point out certain certain things that drain to. I've seen septic companies that will blame a dishwasher or a garbage disposal on a failed septic system. Okay, you know, they will blame not having cleaned out the septic. You know, not having it pumped out in 4 years or 5 years. Like, you know, they'll blame it on that. But if they are going to use your water softener as a, you know, to blame, it doesn't matter what the science says. If it's in their warranty and they can get out of having to replace spend $20,000 of their own money to go in and redo a prematurely failed septic system, I mean, I understand that. I mean, there's a huge cost. And most of these guys are like a lot of the dealers. They're just small guys. You know, they make their money. It's, you know, $15,000, $20,000 to put in a septic system and a drain field and all of that stuff. So, sure, there's margin in there. okay? But there's not that much margin in there. And if they're having to replace or repair those because one that they were responsible for prematurely failed, you can't sustain that kind of business. I mean, imagine you as a softener company, if you're having to constantly replace or put in a new softener, you know, because of the softener. I mean, that happens. It happens with all of us. Sometimes we have to cover things under warranty. Sometimes we do it. But our equipment costs us, you know, our cost on it's what, $800, $1,000 total by the time you have it installed and do all the labor and all of that stuff. You're talking thousands of dollars. If they had to do that a lot, a small business can't sustain that. So be empathetic to them, okay? Understand that they, you know, in a perfect world, they would have all of their customers do exactly what you're supposed to do with a septic system. I can tell you customers, I was just talking to some of our MV pros about this yesterday. I built my house 17 years ago, and I have literally pumped out my septic tank one time. I would be, if mine failed, I'm just a horrible homeowner in that regard. You know, like completely irresponsible. I couldn't blame that on anybody. But, you know, and even the guy who came to pump out my tank, he was looking at me like, I mean, I dodged a major, major bullet because the thing was almost overflowing. It was, fortunately for me, I caught it before the drain got plugged and it started, you know, seeping into the ground and the dirt and making it all soft and all that stuff. I mean, I learned a lot about him as I was looking at it, but anyway, so let's kind of go back and summarize here a little bit. You can't argue with them. You're not going to single-handedly get them to change the warranty on their septic tanks. So here's my suggestion to you. Read the impact study. Know about it. Know the science so that you can speak their language. Show it to them. Be able to explain it to them as much as they want to know. I mean, you guys know people in the technical field. Sometimes even though they know what they're doing, they know how to do the work. Sometimes you can't start throwing around science terms even people in our industry. There are some of the smartest people I have ever worked with in our industry that they do their job. They know they are my go-to people. When somebody calls me up and says, "Hey Kelly, I ran into this issue," I'm calling this guy who's been doing this for 30, 40 years. He's not throwing around science terms to me. He's telling me real life, real world experience. And you guys all know you can do a science experiment, but it's not exactly the same as real world practical experience. Okay, so it does not make any sense to try and get into an argument with the septic system guys. It does make sense to try and educate them. But more importantly, if you want to not have a battle with them in your area, educate them, but then educate yourself more first and foremost. So what we did in this situation, what our client in Iowa did, is they sent and the owner actually got a hold of this thing from the septic system. All of his neighbors, he lives in a development, and every single one of his neighbors got this letter from the local water company. And so he sent out a copy of the study to all of his neighbors and basically said, you know, we value the other businesses in the area. We value the opinion. They do a good job, but here is what the science says. If you have any questions or you want more detail, here are some resources, starting with me, with this as a company, but then here's the, you know, the Water Quality Association, here's WQRS, stuff like that. Now, let me go a step further on a suggestion on how to kind of prevent this from happening from the very beginning. Before, I mean, yes, you have to get in there and have these conversations with your local septic system people. You've got to have those conversations. You've got to get to know them. But somewhere along, if the municipality, if the local city water company is sending out this letter to everybody, I would be willing to bet that somewhere, if you traced it back, because the people at the city didn't just send this out to people. They didn't just suddenly send this thing out saying, "Hey, our water's good. You don't need a water softener. And by the way, putting a water softener in your septic system hurts you or hurts your septic." They didn't just send this out there. They got the idea from somebody. So somebody somewhere probably went to a village council or a city council meeting. Maybe they even sit on the city council. They sit on the city council, and they've had this conversation, and they put it on the agenda. They explained it one-sided. They had a meeting, probably a public meeting, where they talked about this issue and asked for public comment. And guess what? There was not a single representative of the water treatment industry in that audience, and definitely not on the city council. And so they say, okay, here's what we believe. This, I've been doing this for a long time. This is the problem. We've got to get people to stop this. We need to pass an ordinance that suggests to people, we need to send this out and tell people they shouldn't be doing this. Does anybody in the audience have a public comment on this issue? Anybody? Anybody? Cricket? All right. City council members, how do you vote? Yeah, sure. You're the expert in this. Let's send out a letter telling people they shouldn't do this. Yeah, I mean, obviously nobody in the audience knew anything about this. WQRF, what the heck is that? Has anybody on that city council ever heard of the Water Quality Research Foundation? How in the world would they possibly know about that? Maybe one of you guys on this call actually went to your local city council meeting, actually made yourself an expert, actually read the impact study, and maybe some of you after this call, after this MVPro call right now, you're listening to this, maybe some of you will prevent this from happening in your area a month from now or 6 months from now, because you're going to hang up, look up your local septic guy, ask to, if he has 10 minutes of time to go meet him, to introduce yourself, have lunch with him or coffee or breakfast. You sit down and you chat with him. And suddenly, maybe this guy is on the city council. Maybe he's running for city council. Maybe he's going to be there. And when they have the conversation, he asks you to come in and talk about it from your side of it to give an equal perspective. Maybe he's a good enough guy that he wants to get it right. He's not being vindictive or malicious or greedy. He's doing what he's been taught to do his entire life by his grandpa and his dad, and now he's doing it. And you know what? By every class that they've gone to, the classes that are taught by the grandfathers and the dads, the people who teach the septic system classes are the people that have been doing septic systems for a long, long, long time. So how do they possibly know about this unless we get out there and we educate them, we talk to them about it? Okay, so that's my septic system water softener suggestions. I would suggest you guys read this impact study. I'm going to put a link directly to the Water Quality Association's website, to the study where you can download the summary. If you're a member, you can get the more detailed version of it. I'm going to put that in the description box. Last couple minutes, anybody have any thoughts or comments or experience with this? Anybody done this?
Yeah, Kelly, this is Trent. I've actually met with the three main septic companies in our county, and one thing that was interesting that came up, they were all pretty pro water softeners, except for when they fail, when they run water to the drain and then overflow the septic. So we've actually noticed that a lot of the different valves, if the power goes off and comes back on really quickly, the valve goes to home itself, so it ends up being, can be running water to the drain, and then the power shuts off and the valve stays there. So we put battery backups on a lot of softeners when they get put in somewhere where they have the septic, to where it would be catastrophic if, you know, it ran at full water to drain for a day.
When you're in California too, where it's required, you're required to have efficient water softeners there. So, that's interesting to hear. So you had a conversation with them, and this was the solution that you guys came up with that worked for everybody, right?
Yeah, they said, you know what, when they're working fine, they're great, but if they fail and keep running water to drain, they've had situations where they flood somebody's whole backyard from the septic. So we've now added that battery backup.
Yeah, so Trent, see, that's a prime example of actually having that conversation instead of considering them the enemy, right? That just proves the point that communication is critical on it. Were they receptive to the study? Did you share the study with them?
No, I told them there were studies, but they were pretty on board with the fact that
yeah,
it didn't create issues.
Yeah.
They hadn't seen, because mm-hmm. some of the stuff is corrosion and stuff on the tanks,
yeah.
and they said, as mm-hmm. long as they're working fine, we really haven't noticed any issues with them.
Good.
So I was kind of thinking it'd be the opposite. But
yeah. I think it's kind of dependent on the country and, you know, on where they are in the country and stuff like that. I think that's an interesting perspective from the West Coast for sure. So anybody else have any comments or thoughts on this?
Yeah,
thank
Kelly.
You, Trent. I appreciate that. Yeah, what's
Kelly,
that?
This is Tony. Hey, I shared that article with a sanitarian in the Grand Rapids area, and she was very adamant about anything but gray water going into a septic field. And
yeah.
I shared the article with her, and she was enlightened and ended up being a good referral source for me for many years. In fact, still to this day, she'll call me if she has a problem. And was against RO, put an RO in her house. But it was a matter of saying, hey, let's go have lunch. Let's agree to disagree on some things. But I'd like to show you the latest information on septic discharge. And we had a nice lunch and chatted, and she's been a referral source ever since.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. You're making, again, proof in the pudding. Thank you, Tony. Anybody else? We've got 30 seconds here. Guys, I'm going to post this on social media. You know, I'll put it up there. I look forward to your comments and your thoughts on this. So please let me know. And as always, I appreciate everybody. Be safe. We will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody. Talk to you soon.